Is the Shroud of Turin possibly the burial cloth of Jesus Christ? Many experts say so, but critics say no, and they point to the carbon dating testing of the Shroud of 1988. They also say, where are the references to the Shroud before it showed up in Lire, France in 1357? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is author Joseph G. Marino, who wrote an article recently entitled Documented References to the Burial Linens of Jesus Prior to the Shroud of Turin's Appearance in France in the mid-1350s. Well, Joe Marino, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jerry. Nice to be here.
Okay. Speak a little bit closer to your microphone, if you would. And go ahead and tell us about the idea that there were documented appearances of the Shroud prior to when it showed up in France in the 1350s.
Right. You know, one of the biggest claims by the skeptics is that there's no reference to the Shroud before the 14th century when it first appeared in France in about 1355. And of course, it was only called the Shroud of Turin after 1578. So any time before that, it would have been referred to by another name, of course. And there's actually quite a few references in history, in historical and religious writings, that refer to, a shroud, a head cloth, or various types of burial linens. So I put together a compilation, basically, of sources, of citations using various modern sources. And I have at least one reference from the 2nd century through the first half of the 14th century.
Wow.
And people just, even people that are fairly familiar with the Shroud, I sent a draft of the paper to several prominent Shroud people, and even they were surprised at how many references there were that they didn't even know about.
Tell us about the earlier one. You said the 2nd century, even?
Yeah. There's an apocryphal gospel that no longer exists, in its original form, but it was referred to in the 3rd century by the Christian theologian Origen. It's called Gospel to the Hebrews.
Okay.
And or Gospel of the Hebrews, I guess. And most scholars say that was written in the first few decades of the 2nd century. And the citation is, when the Lord had given the linen cloth to the servant of the priest, he went and appeared to James. So that's early 2nd century. And we start having, in each century, we have various references. Another important one is in the 4th century. It's more of a liturgical clue, but Pope Sylvester in 325 made a papal decree that the church should celebrate the Mass, which represents the body and blood of Christ in Catholic theology, that it should be celebrated on a linen cloth consecrated by the bishop as if it were the clean shroud of Christ. So that's 325.
Before you go to another one, if you don't mind saying this, most of the people listening to us would be a largely Protestant office or, audience and many evangelicals and so forth. There are some, unfortunately, among evangelicals who reject the shroud out of hand just because, it's just some sort of Catholic relic. And then they think about, during the Middle Ages, there were relics where the bones of saints were, there was almost superstitious practices involved in all that. That's not the same as the Shroud of Turin has been studied scientifically more than virtually anything, any artifact in the world, religious or secular.
Right. In fact, it is the most intensely studied artifact in human history in terms of the number of hours put into studying it. It's hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours that have been put into this. And I mean, it's a very weak argument to say, oh, well, a lot of relics were fake and relics were abused, which is true. Nobody's going to deny that. But, you know, the Shroud deserves to be evaluated on its own merits, and it has been studied intensely by many researchers over the centuries, including the group in 1978 called STIRP, which is the Shroud of Turin Research Project. Now, these guys, and a few women at the time, you know, most of them worked in the U.S.'s space and nuclear programs. Mm-hmm. And these, you know, these people build bombs and send people into space. Now, they were pretty intelligent guys. They're often accused of being religious fanatics, but that simply is skeptic bias. You know, they went over there to figure out how the image got on there, and in that task, they actually failed because they ended up not knowing how the image got on the cloth. But they were intelligent enough to build bombs and send people to space. Nobody would dream of telling these men and women how to build bombs and how to build spaceships. But people feel very comfortable saying, oh, you guys were all wrong about the Shroud.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because I've heard the statement made that many of those scientists that came over in 1978, they got to study the Shroud round the clock for 120 hours. Many of them expected that, look, within 10 minutes, we're going to prove this thing is a fake. And yep. And they couldn't, because there's something to it. I mean, this purports to be the very burial cloth of Jesus Christ. Okay, so now I so rudely interrupted you. Let's continue with more documentary evidence. You left us off with Pope Sylvester, as I recall, in the 300s.
Right. Right. And then in the 5th century, there was a bishop called Theodore of Mopsuestia, and he wrote a catechism for the Catholic Church. And it had some instructions on what the clergy should do before the Mass was celebrated. And he wrote that when they bring up the oblation at the offertory, they place it on the altar for the completed representation of the Passion, so that we may think of him on the altar as if he were placed in the sepulchre after having received the Passion. This is why the deacons who spread the linens on the altar represent the figure on the linen cloth at the burial. Hmm. So I think that's quite significant.
Wow. All right. And what's another one?
Yeah. And then another big one in the 6th century, there was a liturgical rite called the Mozarabic. Problems pronouncing that. Rite of Holy Week. It's a Spanish liturgy in the 6th century. And they translated John 24 as Peter ran with John to the tomb and saw the recent imprints of the dead and risen man on the linens. So, you know.
Okay, so in John chapter 20... John chapter 20, verse 4, it just says Peter and John, you know, they ran to the tomb, they looked inside, and they saw the linen cloths. But what did this say specifically? It's almost like a new interpretation of that verse.
It's an interpretation. It says, and saw the recent imprints of the dead and risen man on the linens. So they're, you know, they seem to be referring to an actual image.
You know, let me have you address this. In many interviews that I've done with Dr. Wanger through the years, the late Dr. Wanger, Alan Wanger, who's big on the Shroud and so forth, I got the impression that through time, over time, because of air pollution, especially in the 20th century, the image just started getting more and more faded on the image on the Shroud of Turin. For whatever reason, air pollution, whatever. Now it's hermetically sealed, so at least they're stopping that as a continual problem. In the meantime, you look in the Middle Ages and you see paintings where it's the shroud, or, you know, that's what they're holding up, the Shroud of Turin. And you could see the image so clearly of the crucified man, both front and back. Is it possible that over time it did indeed fade out much? Much of it faded to the human eye. And though, therefore, at the time of Peter and John, when they first saw it, they would indeed see, like with that writer said, there's the imprint on the shroud of the, you know, the remains of Christ.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, a lot of the people that come up with the image formation theory, you know, speculate that the image might not have even formed for decades or even hundreds of years after the resurrection.
This is different. What this is saying is that over time, because of, you know, pollution or exposure or whatever in the air, the image started fading over time. I mean, for example, Dr. Wanger said that the photographs of 1931 of the shroud, the image on the shroud is better than, say, the photos by the time you get to 1978, again, because of air pollution or other factors like that.
Yeah, there was an archaeologist that believed the image was fading to the point where she thought it would actually disappear, because it was degrading, and it would eventually catch up to the rest of the cloth in terms of how you see the cloth visually.
Well, the key is that it is hermetically sealed now. So if that was a problem, they have stopped it. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. What else do you want to cram in here, please?
Let's see. Gosh, there's so much. I ended up with about 45 pages. When the image of Edessa was taken to Constantinople in 944, Gregory and the archdeacon delivered a sermon in the palace, and he said, "The splendor has been impressed uniquely by the drops of agony, sweat sprinkled from the face. These are truly the beauties that produce the coloring of Christ's imprint, which had been embellished further by the drops of blood sprinkled from his own side." Mm. Blood and water there, sweat and image there.
And what year about would that be?
That's 944.
944. Okay, so now the people who say that the carbon dating shows that the Shroud of Turin could not, you know, have existed until the 1200s or 1300s at the earliest, how do they address something like that? Well, I guess they would ignore it, but your thoughts?
Yeah, that's it. They basically ignore it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I wrote the article. It's like, here's the documentation. People tend to make an opinion on the shroud based on their worldview rather than scientific and historical evidence. And if you're an atheist or agnostic, it's just easier to say, oh, I think it's a fake. And most people don't do any research or homework at all on it.
Okay, I'm going to give you a 30-second closing thought. What is your worldview on the Shroud of Turin?
After studying it for more than 45 years, I absolutely believe it's authentic. I don't know how the image got on the cloth, but I think it's not unreasonable to make a connection between what the Bible calls the resurrection of Jesus and what we see on the cloth with its images. There has to be a correlation. That's just using logic and reason and common sense to me.
All right, author Joseph G. Marino, and again, we will link to your article here on documented references to the burial linens of Jesus prior to the Shroud of Turin's appearance in France in the mid-1350s. Joseph, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks, Jerry.